just make weird fucking shitting noises into the microphone.
You are so annoying. There's like 5 minutes of gold before he starts recording and he drags.
What were you telling me?
Feet.
You got Celia a present.
Shut up! Don't put that on the podcast, you fucking numbskull. God damn it. I'm going to murder you.
How come I don't get a present?
I used to joke I'd murder you in your sleep. Now I'm going to murder you while you're awake because I want you to be aware.
That's good. I'd rather experience it so I can write about it in the afterlife.
No, you're going to be dead because I've murdered you.
No, in the afterlife.
Yeah, maybe pressing record was a mistake.
This whole fucking thing is a mistake. Should we just watch it real quick? The only podcast coming to you live from the afterlife. I am Dr. Damien God Gibson, and I didn't go to heaven to be told to shut up. Thank you very much. And in the blue corner is the Italian Geld, and it is Kelly. Big fucking whoop. I will murder you in your sleep for Stuka.
Listen.
Here she is.
I called you. Because there was some juicy stuff happening before he pressed record.
There was such a big build up.
There was a juicy stuff happening before he pressed record. And I was yelling at him why he wasn't pressing record. And he was arguing with me, talking into the mic. And it wasn't recording. And I'm like, just fucking record. You're so stupid. Record. And he got offended because I called him stupid, which I understand and I get. But I was also, I wasn't saying you're stupid, like you're an idiot. Because you're obviously not.
No.
I'm saying
that's
it.
That's exactly what you were saying.
You are inept of the comical timing that is pressing record as soon as.
Kelly, stop yawning into the microphone. Kelly, can I just point out that's the best intro I've ever done for you, and the first thing you did was yawn into the mic.
Listen, it's Easter. Happy Easter. Yesterday.
Happy Easter, you fucking dick lords.
Someone's had some chocolate. Someone's had some chocolate and a very excited little boy.
Record me. I'm full of chocolate.
He's had some chocolate. He's a very excited little boy. He's jumping all over. Don't put your dirty fingers on the couch.
I'm as happy as a little girl.
Remember Dieter?
Remember Mike Myers' character Dieter?
I'm
as happy as a little girl.
My brain was going, oh, where's that from? Where's that
Dieter from? Dieter Brummer from Home and Away.
He died.
Yeah, well, we're allowed to mention his name. He lives on through this podcast.
Home and Away. No, that's.
Were you. Okay, here we go. I had a bunch of questions, but I'm coming up with this one. Too many tangents to mention.
Don't go chasing tangent
falls.
God, please stick to the Family Guy reference you're doing. If you're gonna go to Austin Powers, don't go by SNL. You're gonna just go back to Ace Ventura.
All righty then.
Do not. There is just something.
Go in there.
It's just a sketch from SNL called, it's like the Douchebag Olympics or something. Is it Douchebag Olympics?
Yeah, Douchebag of the Year or Douchebag Olympics. Or something. It's a Jason Sudeikis sketch.
One of the characters, he's a douchebag. Obviously,
the finals are happening in Las Vegas. It's come down to three.
And one of them is Bill Hader, and he's a douchebag because all he does is recite Austin Powers, Ace Ventura. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ace Ventura, Borat, and Austin Powers. And I'm like,
he had won the special talent contest by doing his impersonations, which were Ace Ventura.
I just said Borat and
Austin Powers. Yeah.
So and he's just, and every time he talks, he's like, my wife.
And
that's
we love it because it's Bill Hader trying to do bad impersonations, but he's so good at impersonations that they're still pretty good.
My wife, baby. Now you can say my wife. when we get married.
Very nice.
Very nice. My wife, she is dead, but I have another.
Borat, all three of those films are fantastic comedy films
that got ruined
immediately as soon as you walked out of the cinema by douchebags.
All three of them.
Right?
Ace Ventura is still one of my favorite comedies of all time.
I still love Ace Ventura. I know, but I know there's the shower scene, but as I have said in the past, that was like parodying a film that was out like 2 months beforehand, The Crying Game. So I think a lot of people miss that reference. Doesn't mean that it's not transphobic. I'm just saying. There's a scene, there's a shot-for-shot scene in The Crying Game that was released like 6 months beforehand. Austin Powers, still great, I think, if you watch it in its entirety. It's still a very good film. But, yes, for like what seemed like 134 years, the unfunniest dude in the office would say things like, "Do I make you horny?" At Friday Night Drinks, and you would be like, gross. And Borat, you know. Great, fine. You know, the first time you watched it, and then
but the unfunny guy in the office does make me horny. So what do I do?
You marry him. Oh,
man, I was gonna actually do a real fart at that moment, but I didn't do it because I'm a lady.
Here's a question. Here's the question for the week. Before we get into what we were watching without each other, and then what we just watched together, Home and Away or Neighbor's House? Go.
Neighbors.
Yeah. Have we done this question before?
I mean, it feels like I'm living in eternity with all your stupid questions. So, yeah.
Oh, sorry to fucking sorry to make us have a conversation on the podcast. He presses record and he makes me fucking talk about shit. It's
listen, we were in Neighbor's House. Obviously, Scott and Charlene. Suddenly, you're near me. Oh, my God. Maybe that should be our bridal dance song, Suddenly by Rose Tattoo. Anyway. But then we did watch Home and Away. It's pretty funny. I know, I would love it.
It would be funny.
We did actually watch like a bit of Home and Away. Like I do remember when Bobby died in the boat crash.
Bobby, no.
Yeah. And I do remember Danny Minogue, Rack Off and stuff like that.
Oh, rack
were you
off.
You were Neighbor's House?
We were Neighbors.
Okay, I got one for you. I got one for you. Star Trek, Star Wars.
Oh, Star Wars. I didn't see anything Star Trek
Star
until
Trek.
I was like...
we were 100%
Star
Trek.
You've got to understand, both my parents have no sense of fun or humor at all. So neither of them watched...
Your mum will say...
Actually, you know what?
Your mum will say, that's funny.
That's not true. Jack and I don't really like comedy.
Oh, yeah.
Remember when mum said that? The most terrifying thing she's ever said.
We don't watch comedy.
No, that's not what she said.
What'd she say?
She said, Jack and I... don't like comedy.
We don't like comedy.
Jack and I don't like comedy.
No, they're watching the footy. Toinks.
Oh, mate. Mum liked Doctor Who. So I'm just going to say, like, that's kind of bullshit because she did like that fun thing.
Can I?
You know, but Star Wars and Star Trek. Mum and Dad, anything that was American, they didn't watch. They didn't like it. They thought it was shit. It
can
was
I go
all
back?
I actually really like
this game. All right, listen. Okay, right, we just said, so you're Star Wars, I am Star Trek. It just reminds me of a line from 30 Rock where Jack Donaghy is talking about nerds and he's like, I put up with your wars, both Star and Trek. anyway, I got another one for you. Back to the Future or the Goonies?
This is me and my sister because my parents.
It's supposed to be a game where you just
No. I just want to clarify. So my parents are out. So it's just me and my sister. Me and my sister, Back to the Future.
Great, that's the answer I wanted.
Absolutely.
I feel like we were a little bit more Goonies than Back to the Future.
Yeah, I feel like
we
rewatched
the
Goonies
heaps.
The Goonies is more fun than Back to the Future, I think.
But Back to the Future is so classic. Goonies is still good. It hasn't worn
Goonies
out. And neither
great.
Has Back to the Future, man. It's great. They're both great.
I think the song from Goonies is better. I mean, it's a close run race.
But then you've
Power
got,
of Love is great.
But then you've got Cyndi Lauper. Good luck for
that's
me.
That's what I'm saying.
That's
the
what I
Goonies,
mean. It's great.
The Goonies song is better.
But also Goonies has, like, you've got, it's hard because Goonies is one movie, but then Back to the Future is three.
I think Goonies is more of a kid's film. Whereas Back to the Future is like a family four quadrant.
I got another one for you. Labyrinth or Carry Around a Carriage?
I didn't see Labyrinth until I was maybe in my 20s, so I'm going to have to go with Caravan and Courage.
Yeah, we'll Caravan and Courage too. Yeah. We'll never Labyrinth. Karate Kid or Rocky?
Karate Kid. I fucking loved Karate Kid. So much so. I mean, I know I'm a big like 80s action dude, but Karate Kid was big. And because it was such a family-friendly film, mum actually was cool with us watching it. And I think like she took us to the cinema to see Karate Kid 2, which is a huge thing. I've only seen two films in the cinema with my mum. One was that and the other was Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Give me a big old kiss. Can I tell you something about
I'm enjoying this. Give me more.
I'm trying to. Karate Kid, so funny. Because you're like, oh, it's a family-friendly film, you know. My mum let us watch it. We watched that a lot in our house. I actually can't answer the question, though.
Why?
Rocky or Karate. They were both equally watched over and over in my house. Rocky and Karate Kid were very big in our house. I would actually maybe even side a bit with Rocky, but my little brother, Chris, he's a little brother, but he just turned 40. He was big Karate Kid and Rocky. Loved Karate Kid so much so that he broke his friend's arm. Brendan, who lived up the road, and they were like, you know, 7, 8. They were just playing, like absolutely playing. And then he did a fly kick on his friend's arm and he broke his arm. The best. No. Give me one. Let me do it.
Okay. Sylvester Stallone or Arnold Schwarzenegger house?
Ooh. I mean, it's Stallone because Rocky was so big.
Yeah,
but,
and you guys are fucking
But
Italians.
We were like massive
and
when
you're
it came
Italians,
to Terminator.
Of course you're going to pick Sly every time.
Wrestling or AFL?
In our house. Are mum and dad here or not? Because if mum and dad are in the house, it's absolutely AFL. But if they're not, then it's just me and my sister making decisions and wrestling.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Vanessa hated footy from the jump. And like, so like she tried to, she actually played girls footy in primary school. This is my sister, everybody who's listening. But she hated it. She hated going. She hated it being on TV. She still doesn't like it now. She'll, for me, because she loves me, if there's something going on, she might ask me about it so she knows what to talk about at work. But she hates it. So
McDonald's or KFC?
We weren't allowed to eat either.
But then when you were?
Probably KFC because there was a KFC in Glenroy.
Close, yeah.
Yeah.
We were McDonald's because that was the closest one.
Yeah.
And we could sometimes do KFC or never did Red Rooster. Sometimes KFC, but it was always expensive. And the line, because it was only KFC in Hoppers and Werribee, they had a drive through.
No,
so
that was
the line
great
was too
thing
big.
About the KFC. Here's no one ever fucking
nah,
went there.
It was too, like you'd be in line for half an hour and then we couldn't do Hungry Jack's because that was Werribee. It was too far away.
And also, can I just say two words? Tower Burger.
Oh, Tower Burger. All right,
Tower
let me
Burger,
go.
Tower Burger, mate, is the greatest fast food burger ever invented. Mate. And they get rid of it for 7 years at a time and then they bring it back and it's never as good as it was the last
Tangent.
Time. And
Doctor Who or the Goonies?
What?
Oh, not the Goonies. The Goodies, sorry. The
oh,
Goodies.
I love the Goodies, even though I've watched it as an adult and it's probably not
bit bad, yeah.
Parts.
Ooh, the Goodies.
Yeah, we love the Goodies.
I got a real good one for you. Are you ready? Press Gang or Degrassi High?
Oh, man, I'm Press Gang every fucking
high.
Day of the week.
I'm so Degrassi High.
But I really like Degrassi High too. But
Ocean Girl or Round the Twist?
Ocean Girl, I had a twist on. I had a crush on because she was a babe.
She was a babe. She wasn't.
But Round the Twist.
Give me one. I got one. Okay. Back to me. Fast Forward or Skid House?
Fast Forward.
Okay.
Because
I'm not going to put the Late Show in because obviously that wins. That's an ace every time.
I'm trying to think of something like Hey Hey It's Saturday or, but I can't think of an or.
In Melbourne Tonight with Frankie J. Holden.
Ah, that sucks. You watch Hey Hey It's Saturday.
Okay, I got one for you. The Tony Bartuccio dances.
Yeah. Jeez, this is becoming so niche.
Or Yeah. Nah, I'll do another one. Young Talent Time.
Yeah.
Or It's a Knockout.
Oh, that's good. I was going to say It's a Knockout.
Am I nailing this or what?
We were at It's a Knockout house.
Okay. We were, we love It's a Knockout so hard, but I'm going to have to say Young Talent Time. Have I told you the Young Talent Time story of our house?
No.
I'm going to try and find some. I'm sure now with the way media is, I could find the footage. But I wish one of my siblings was here to confer with this story. But then we'll get into like quickly what we watched, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So when I was 4 and my older brother, so Chris would have been 2, he wasn't there. Hmm. Matt was, I was 4, Matt was 6, Joanne was 8. We got tickets to Young Talent Time.
Right.
And it was the first episode of the season. And it was the first episode that Natalie was there.
Who's Natalie?
One of the Young Talent Timers. So if people remember it and you Google Natalie, you go, I remember Natalie. Like she was just a fucking vag hair off when Tina Arena was on, right? So
I didn't even know Tina Arena was on it. I know Danny Minogue was on it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think Danny was still in it. Yeah, she was still young, like, you know. Anyway, so the opening number was Prince and it was, what was the, like, cute guy's name? Not Bevan, like Vinny or something. Anyway, he was doing Let's Go Crazy by Prince and that was the opening song. And I remember being really, like, scared, like, it's crazy. Let's go crazy. Like, I remember being like, because it was just a bit too much for me. Anyway, there was a song, Marguerite, and that's a pizza. There was a girl, like a little.
Marika?
Maybe.
Matika.
No, that's Toy Soldiers. Yeah. Step by step.
Yeah.
That's not the same person. No, so there was a girl that when Tina Arena left, they got another little Italian girl to like cover her and her name was like Marina or something.
Oh, God, Kelly, I don't know the names
of these people. Telling you the story. So anyway, so they were doing this like maracas one where they were doing all like, had all like, you know, bananas and grapes on their head and they're like doing a song going, oh, 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 I want to hear you say, I love you, all right, boy, I love you. And they're doing like a conga line and stuff. Anyway, that song, there was, the camera was on us kids and I'm like 4 and I'm like dancing around my little butt and stuff. And I look like a little chipmunk.
No.
So you can see us in the audience when we're like young.
Okay. We have to find this footage.
I know. I need to find the footage.
I mean, is it a self-indulgent story? Yes. Is it worth finding the footage?
Yes. Absolutely. We had it on VHS for years. Like it was like a big, because then they were playing old Young Talent Time on like Channel 10 or something. And we knew when it was coming. And this is like when we were like 15.
Hmm.
We were like, we've got to watch it. Eh! Yeah. So what have you been watching this week?
This week I've mostly been watching, when are we going to, maybe next week we'll have your a cavalcade of stars come through.
What?
We had a request from super listener Seals that, that you do all of your impersonations in the one episode.
Maybe I should spread them out.
No, I think next week we'll have, should we just watch it real quick? Presents a cavalcade of stars.
It's a special episode where you interview a whole bunch of celebrities and it's me. Yeah,
great. I'm looking forward to that. All right, that's next week. This week I've mostly been watching The Long Good Friday. It's a gangster film from the United Kingdom. Well, it's a lot like that because it stars Bob Hoskins and Helen Mirren. And, it's a film that Edgar Wright and Quentin Tarantino, like, through the pandemic became, like, best mates.
Mm-hmm.
Because they did like a series of interviews with each other where they like sort of just talked about their favorite films. And of course, me being me, I fucking loved every second of it. And Edgar Wright talked to Quentin Tarantino about this film and why it's one of the best British films ever made. And Tarantino loved it as well. And so I'd always wanted to watch it. And then this podcast I listened to, we're watching this week. So I wanted to watch it. It is very good. I have a couple of problems with it. there is a quite a complicated plot. So the plot is essentially that Bob Hoskins is this, he's like the head of the East, he's the head of the London gangs in the late 70s, early 80s. And he's on the verge of going legit. He's got this like hotel docks sort of deal. He's going to he's essentially going to buy all of the land along the Thames in London and then sell it to property developers. And so he'll be a legitimate businessman. But just out of nowhere, or from a series of events, essentially his whole empire is being taken down. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't know by who. We sort of know by who, but not really. And there's just a little bit, I think there's a little bit of problems at the beginning of the film, us as an audience being informed exactly what's going on, and that doesn't really get clarified that well until the end of the film. And so I think a lot of people going back and watching this film might get a little confused as to what's happening.
Mm.
But essentially what has happened, and it doesn't necessarily get explained, and that's not always a bad thing, but I think in this particular film, being told flat out that the IRA is involved would have helped with the plot of the film. Because essentially Hoskins goes to America to try and get funding for this deal, and his underlings are such fucking morons that they've basically instigated a flame war with the IRA. And so just to like basically prove how big they are as an organization, they decide to take out Hoskins, one, because he's English, and two, because they fucked him, like they got fucked over by his crew. But yeah, it is a really, really well made film, especially on a budget. It's not a big budget film by any stretch of the imagination. But the reason to watch it is Hoskins and Mirren. They're both so fucking good.
You get some cheeky like 70s boobies too.
No. Helen Mirren is
not
don't.
From her. I was watching
in the film you do. Yeah. Yes. But I thought you meant from Helen Mirren. But yeah, they have like this they have this amazing relationship where essentially she's kind of the brains of the operation in a lot of ways, and he's sort of this like animalistic guy, and she keeps him cognizant enough to be able to like run his day-to-day dealings. But as soon as that starts to unravel, like the animal in him comes out, and he's amazing. Like if you love watching actors sort of in their element for an hour and a half, 2 hours, then this film is for you. And it's like, it's kind of intense. It's like, you can see why filmmakers like Tarantino and Edgar Wright like it, because they're, especially Edgar Wright, like Edgar Wright uses violence sparingly, and when he does, it's quite shocking.
Mm.
You know, like I think of like the Steeple scene in Hot Fuzz where it like a whole steeple falls off a church and like obliterates a guy, and it sort of comes out of nowhere, and it has a huge impact in the film. And there's a couple of scenes in this film that do a similar sort of thing, one involving a crucifixion, so I'll just leave it at that. I don't want to spoil the whole film for you, but yeah, it's an adult film for adults. So don't let the kids watch it. But anyway,
it sounds so boring.
What?
It was more like when I was watching it, it was slow, and I was like, oh yeah, I could see what's going on here. I watched a bit of it, but just the description of the story, now that I know a bit more, I'm like, oh, it actually sounds really boring.
It's not at all.
Okay.
Yeah, but thanks for completely undermining my review.
I'm not.
Like within seconds.
You're
of
not boring. I'm saying the story's boring.
That sounds so boring.
It sounds so boring. Can we
that
just
sounds
do,
so boring.
Can we just do these accents for the rest of the podcast?
It's a film about a man losing his empire.
I just trying to watch a bloody film.
And then how he deals with that.
I'm just trying to watch a... But the film was only 2 hours long.
There is one
terrible fucking cane impersonation.
There is one scene where a guy, Stitches, gets introduced, And he's called Stitches because he's got a scar from...
Stitches and snitches? Is he a snitch?
No, he has a scar from 58, a stab wound that took 58 stitches to put back together.
Oh.
And, like, he's, like, Bob Hoskins' hard man. He, like threatens people. And Bob Hoskins goes, if you don't tell me the truth, you're going to have to deal with Stitches. Stitches, show them why they call you Stitches. And he, like, pulls up his shirt. Mm-hmm. And he's like, look what these guys did to him. And they liked him.
Hmm.
I like that. It was like little bits good. Of little lines and stuff like that in the film that like.
That's good. That's pretty good.
What you been watching? What have you been watching?
Me, I've been watching. I've been rewatching. Grab yourself a gun, Papa Jump. Grab yourself a gun, Carmella. Oh, oh. What? So what? No fucking ziti now? Oh. Polly, it's pretty good. I'm just rewatching it when I, because I'm organizing wedding stuff. I'm doing things and sometimes it's just good to have something on in the background. So I just put that on because I don't need to focus on it, but I still need sound when I do things. But let's talk about what we watched today. It was...
A Gentleman in Moscow.
It's called A Gentleman in Moscow. And it is. It has Ewan McGregor in it. It's a historical drama based on the book A Gentleman in Moscow by Emma Torres. And it's on it's Paramount. Is it from Paramount?
Mm.
And we watched a little bit of it because we thought, let's watch the first episode.
I like Ewan McGregor. Let's watch Ewan McGregor's show.
And I actually like when we talk about Russia and the Revolution and the Tsars and the Bolsheviks and so forth, I actually like it. You know, is Anastasia alive? We don't know, but I like all the things about the revolution. It's very interesting, Nicholas, and getting, you know, all that stuff, blah, blah, blah. They put it in the Crown, you know, when they found the bodies of them when they got massacred and stuff. Very interesting, but this is not that interesting so far.
The book, you know, I mean, this is a classic book that is...
Is it based on a true story or just like...
I don't think it's necessarily based on a true story. It's based on, you know, like an actual time in Russian history. Let me look it up. But I know of this book. I've never read it. It's a classic novel, you know, and so I can understand the want to make it into a great film or a TV show. Kenneth Branagh had bought the rights to this like 5-6 years ago or something. I don't know if he had anything to do with this. It's
historical fiction. So based in truth, but the actual character of the Count, which is Ewan McGregor, is false.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. I just think, I suppose it depends on your politics, but I just think right now in 2024, with everything that is going on right now, this is maybe the most fucking tone-deaf thing you could make. It just... Watching the first episode of this, I don't have... You know, I'm someone who probably actively wants some sort of political revolution to happen. You know what I mean? Especially against the billionaire class. And I'm watching this and the protagonists in this thing are the equivalent of Jeff Bezos, Mark Zuckerberg. Like, and I can't feel anything for somebody who is a czar or a prince or a, like... I just painting, and I know that it's being made from a book, like it's being, what's the word, it's being adapted from a book, but that book was also written by rich people. It was also written by an author who obviously has come from a place of privilege. So
he got the idea, ready for it, he got the idea writing this story from staying in multiple, what was the word? Hang on, I have to read exactly what it says. Tal's inspiration for the novel was his experience staying at luxury hotels, specifically hotels in Geneva, Switzerland, where some guests were permanent residents. That's how he got. So he's staying in so many luxury hotels all the time. He got inspiration to write this novel.
Yeah. And it comes across like that. And, like, you know, the guy who adapted this also adapted, like, did the reboot of All Creatures Great and Small, which is also, like, a tough, wet dream, you know? Like, I just, you know, like, wouldn't it be beautiful to just live in the Oxfordshire countryside and be a country vet? I don't have anything. Like, I like Ewan McGregor. He's very charming in this role, and I understand that it's a piece of art that was made 120 years ago, but even at the time, it was, you know, it was pro-elite and anti-working class, and it's, you know, to hide behind this veil of, like, ooh, Russia's evil. It's like, well, so, like, Russia was good when the cousins of the Windsors were in power, but it's bad as soon as the working class take over. So I just had no, like, I just tuned out. Like, within about 6 minutes of this episode, I was like, no, completely tone deaf. I don't know why you're making this. Like, and for a bunch of actors who are also multimillionaires to sit around and go, oh, this is what everybody want to see right now, right? And then, you know, they'll try and hide behind some veiled thing of, like, oh, well, you know, I mean, it's just a brilliant book, and it needed to be adapted, and I always loved that book, and I wanted to make a TV show of it. So you're like, yes, but pieces of art have subtext, and the subtext of this is, let's all barrack for the millionaire. Right. And I think for people 40 and under or 45 and under, because I'm 44, so let's just make that 45 and I'll duck right under it. most people who are doing it really fucking hard right now aren't going to sit back, even on an unconscious level, and go, gee, I hope that fucking millionaire gets away. You know what I mean? And then it's just like, and it's also this bullshit, like, British and American soft power of, like, Russia bad. And I'm not saying that, you know, Vladimir Putin is a great guy or anything, but it's just this fucking holdover from the Cold War, like this propaganda bullshit, you know, that just is constantly shoved down our throats of, like, socialism bad, capitalism good, you know. And for someone I really respect, like Ewan McGregor, to attach his name to, like, a capitalist piece of bullshit like this is disappointing. What did you think, Barbarooney?
What do I think? I mean, I think that it started, the tone is really interesting because the character is very, like, chirpy, and then, you know, friends are getting pulled away, so the gulag around him, and they're getting murdered or disappearing, and then he's befriending this girl, and, you know, basically he's a political prisoner in this hotel. They were going to murder him because, you know, like, over the revolution, if you owned property in the revolution, you could be murdered because you were seen as a traitor of the state, you know. And this guy was a writer who they saw as, the enemy. But because one of his poems was highly regarded, and one of those poems was used within the revolution, that's why they've spared his life and they won't kill him. But they still don't want him to be, they don't want to send him to a forced labor camp, blah, 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 which is why they've got him refined. They just want to watch him in this hotel. So the tone of the film is, you know, it's scary. Like, you're living in this Big Brother 1984-esque world, and he's like, hello, blah, 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 and then going downstairs, getting his meal. And I don't know, there's just an element of, I get the character is chirpy, like, that's who he is. He has this fancy little mustache and he's a writer, and he's, like, befriended this little girl, and it's like, hello there, don't you have a mother? Like, it's all that kind of kitschy, but in the kind of backdrop of this, you know, like, horrifying Russia, which is very similar to Russia today, unfortunately. But I don't know. I wonder if I keep on watching how different it will be, like, because I just was reading on Wikipedia where the story kind of goes, and historically I am always very fucking interested in stories that are history-based. I fucking love it. That's why I love why I've always loved the TV show Mad Men, because they do take you through history. You know, Monroe dying, JFK dying, Martin Luther King, like Vietnam War. Like, to me, that's so fucking interesting. And this could be one of those shows, a fictional show in a historical thing. And yes, you know, all the stuff you're talking about with capitalism and socialism, yes, but it's still historical and it's interesting. And I want to see where it goes, you know, if there is any comeuppance, if there is any, you know, he becomes more of a person. I don't know, but I'm interested. But I'm like, towards the end of the episode, I started to kind of go, oh, okay. But I'm unsure, man. At the tone, it's the same thing we talk about all the fucking time, where people don't know the tone of the show they're making, and which is why Roadhouse was so good, because it knew it was an action film.
I mean, it was terrible. Silly. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've had people message me about it and say, fuck, it was terrible. And I'm like,
yeah, same. I had the same thing a couple of times this week. It was like, this film's bad, man. I can't believe you liked it. It's like, no.
It knew what it was. That's what I liked.
I liked it. So I'm comparing Roadhouse to other action films made now.
Yes.
Right, and so what I was saying is, in comparison to other action films like the fucking Taken 4 or the Equalizer 3, or whenever Ryan Reynolds decides to do a action film, or like for the most part, action or fucking Black Hat with Chris Hemsworth, like Roadhouse knows exactly what it is. It's a straight-to-streamer fucking action film with Conor McGregor in it and man-eating sharks and fucking, you know what I mean? Like,
100%.
It, like, gets what it is, and, like, and that's what I appreciated about it. You know what I mean? Dude, I still 100%. Only gave it 2.5 stars. I didn't give it 5 stars. All I said was, from a positive point of view, Jake Gyllenhaal knows what film he is in and is doing something cool. And the film itself knows its own tone, and it's enjoyable for that. 2.5 stars.
100%, man. And that's why – and I don't know if this film is the same. Like, I don't know if this film knows what it is either. I don't know. It's, and
can I just say one thing from the subtext of Roadhouse in comparison to this fucking piece of shit? The subtext of – the subtext of fucking Roadhouse is – the lone warrior comes into town to save the working people's bar from a giant fucking developer, right?
Yeah, that's right up your alley.
So you can fucking right up your alley. Everyone can get behind that. Yeah. Everybody who's working their ass off on the daily can come home and put themselves in the shoes of fucking Jake Gyllenhaal or barrack for Jake Gyllenhaal to win because that's us. That represents us. Right?
Yeah.
This thing that was written 115 years ago by some fucking rich toff is being made by a bunch of millionaire fucking actors and producers who are so far out of fucking touch with what's going on in the world that they just want to make this because they like the book. But the subtext of this book is, when working class people seize power, it's terrifying and scary. And what will happen to the millionaire artist when the revolution comes? The same thing that's happening to this guy. It won't be good. So maybe you should do something about it and be a part of it when the inevitable fucking revolution against the billionaire class happens.
I mean, you've been talking about it for a while. I'm kind of hoping it was going to happen soon.
Nah, it'll get to the point. It'll have to get to the point where people get stuff taken away from them.
I think it's, you know what I think,
like,
it is?
Like, there's no water to drink or something.
I think
like
that the revolution is basically people bully rich people and celebrities so much that they start quitting. You know, we've lost Lizzo. We've lost a bunch of actors. I think maybe that's what the revolution is, that everyone just drags
but
people
not
through
the
mud so
Lizzo,
much.
Lizzo
is not a problem. She is a
Lizzo's not
thing.
The problem. Ewan McGregor making a tone-deaf TV show is not the problem with some guy from All Creatures Great and Small. You know, like, that's not the problem. It is a symptom of a larger problem, which people are so fucking, like, subsistent off bullshit fucking late stage capitalism narratives that this is the kind of art that gets shoved down our throat. But the problem is Jeff Bezos, Mark Zuckerberg, Elon Musk. and a parliamentary class that subsist, like a subservient to them. That's the problem.
Yeah.
But what annoys me about it is seeing that reflected in art, in inverted commas, you know? So, yeah, I just, I'm probably not good. I'm probably not a fair judge of this as far as like an actual TV show is concerned, because the subtext turned me off immediately.
Well, you know what's fun?
I'm looking at the one grump. One grump.
Listen, this is right up my alley, because the thing is, you hate the rich class and that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. No, no, no. And I hate rich people. Like Nepo Babies is one of my biggest things as well. And this guy, so the writer of this book, Omar Twells, he's already got a fucking fancy fucking name, the twat. I hate rich people too. He was born in Boston. His father was a investment banker and philanthropist.
Philanthropist, yeah.
So they've got so much money that they're giving it away.
Yeah, he's also American. So what would he know about the Russian Revolution?
Yeah, he went to Yale and then Stanford. Fucking hell. And now he lives in Gramercy, which is one of the most expensive areas of New York City. Fuck that. Listen, I'm going to give it one and a half.
When was this book written?
2016.
Oh, I thought it was like...
No, it's not. Mm.
The way that it was being written about and spoken about was like it was some sort of classic novel.
Yeah, it was on the New York Times bestseller list for 59 weeks.
Oh, you know what? This makes me fucking hate this shit even more.
Yeah.
Even more.
Yeah.
Because it was written fucking 8 years ago by some American twat from Yale.
Yeah.
Oh, gross.
I know. Ugh. So I'm going to give one.
Half a grump.
I'm only going to give
zero grumps.
Okay. Zero grumps?
Yeah, zero grumps. Okay. That's my final answer.
I'm only going to give it.
Boys, take him away.
I'm going to give it one grump right now because it is based in a time of history that I'm interested in. That's all. Half of my grump is Ewan McGregor because I like him. The other half of the grump, like I would have got more of a half of a grump if they had someone, an actor in it that I recognize and I liked from something. But I'm one grump because I'm interested in the historical aspect of it, but that's it.
Okay. No.
All right. Well,
this has got tinges of like fucking
rich fucks.
Ah, it's just like
Let me be clear. I hate rich people, right? I hate them. But if they invited me to join their club and I could be rich too, I'd be there in a fucking second.
No, I wouldn't.
In a second. Give me my $1 million, please.
No, I absolutely would not. Yeah. So like the tone that I was picking up on is even more correct because it's written by some fucking
Some shmarmy fucker.
Tosspot.
Yeah.
It actually makes me kind of not respect Ewan McGregor in a huge amount of way either, because he's like, he can pick and choose what he's doing.
Mm. Yeah, but he also...
And if he's not a producer on this, then I'm sure they would have had some say in it. It's like, come on, man, you're smarter than this dude.
Well,
like,
he does have an adoptive daughter that he, from Mongolia, that he picked up.
Yeah, I know. But he didn't pick her up. He,
when
came across her
motorcycle
and ended
thing.
Up... adopting her, yeah. Yeah, exactly, which makes me think, like, well, what are you... Anyway.
Executive producer.
Yeah, exactly.
So he's definitely had a hand in... He definitely, you know, put the tip in when it came to getting...
There is something about, like, especially Brits who move to the UK who, like, they almost become more patriotic than Americans, you know? And, like... and so that always like sort of veers into like, America's the freest and best country in the world and capitalism is the only solution. And Russia is awful. It's always been awful since the revolution. Blah, 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 blah.
I reckon Kenneth Branagh, you said, started, like was going to get this made first.
I had read that he had bought the rights.
Yeah, he did. And then McGregor started doing it. I actually think that Kenneth Branagh at his age would have been better.
Branagh
would have been better in this role. Because there's something about Ewan McGregor that it's too, I don't know, he's too kind of jokesy and likable.
No, he's very charming.
Yeah,
like Ewan McGregor's super charming. And I think that's why they decided to cast him in that role, or he would have wanted to do the role. And that's purposeful. It's not like he's playing the character wrong. Like, that seems to be who the character is, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know, man. Like, just go on social media for fucking 2 minutes and see what young people are talking about, and then to be sitting around in fucking Hollywood or London and be banking the show completely oblivious to the problems of everyday people and expecting people to sit down after a 14-hour workday and be like, oh, yeah, no, millionaires are good people, is just insane to me. So, like, zero grumps.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. We love you very much. Happy Easter for yesterday, and we get married soon.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
Suffering your jocks, Charlton.
What are we going to do when we go to Japan? Are we going to, like, not record for those weeks, or are we going to do makeshift episodes on the fly without our gear? We can do stuff on our phones.
We don't need a huge amount of gear. Like,
I reckon we should just record some quick 10-minute eps on our phone and just upload them when we're in Japan just to keep people interested. You know, I don't like having gaps. I like to make sure something's out there every week.
Well, we might have to do a day where we do like 3 episodes or something.
We'll just make them short. We can talk about this later, not on the show.
Anyway, we love you guys. Thanks for listening. Even more people listening again.
Can you please
share?
Which is
amazing.
Tell your friends.
Share, tell your friends. You guys are doing that, which is amazing. But if you could do it more, that would be great.
Share to your friends.
If you're new to the podcast, tell friends about it. Rate it on Spotify. We're a 5-star review on Spotify. We're at 4.5 on Apple. So if you can, like, get bumped that up, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Because it gets us out to more people, and the more people, you know, and then, like, if we get more people, we can start to do live shows and we can get it out to more people. Right. But yeah, sorry I was a bit grumpy about the show, but, you know, that's why we call them grumps. Zero grumps.
We love you.
Love you. Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Love you.